Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast. We are a part of the Broadway Podcast Network family and the Broadway World family. My name is Samantha Dawn Tutsalo, and this is my beautiful co-host, Jason A. Coombs. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Samantha Dawn Tutsalo.
It's been such a while. I haven't chatted with you. We've both been busy. We've both been all over the place. What's going on? What's your temperature check?
Well, my temperature check is my dog is going crazy outside right now, distracting me. I'm like Ziggy. As we all know Ziggy at this point, our fellow faithful listeners know Ziggy. Ziggy boy, he's going crazy outside. So I apologize if you hear him whimpering and murmuring and being crazy. But my temperature check in general is, so I'm feeling good. We had a really good weekend here in Bridgeport. We had Greater Bridgeport Pride. That was this past weekend, July 29th and 30th, which was fantastic. It was such a great turnout with a lot of wonderful, wonderful people in attendance, a huge celebration of life and joy and pride and amplifying voices and community. So all the stress of the past few months was
worth it.
Worth it. Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Isn't that nice? Well, congratulations. Like I always say to you, you really blow my mind with how much you do and how you do it with grace and kill it all. So shout out to you, my guy.
Thank you. Yeah, I also got to see this wonderful, wonderful musical called A Musical About Star Wars, or Why Star Wars is the Greatest Thing to Ever Happen in the History of the Galaxy. Much, much better than Star Trek. It's what it was called. It's an off-Broadway musical. And I had such a blast, Samantha.
I'm so bummed that I missed it. Did you have a good time? And by the way, are you like familiar with Star Wars? Did you know what you were going in there expecting? Or was it like just a big shock and surprise all around?
Well, I've seen the movies. I'm not like a, you know, a huge fan of Star Wars. Like, I'm not like one of the diehard fans, but I do know it. I feel like if you're like a film person, you have an appreciation for Star Wars, right? So, you know, I went in there with knowledge of Star Wars, of the prequels and the original trilogy. But if you're not, that's like the really good thing about this show is like it plays to kind of both. Like if you're a fan or if you're not a fan, if you're just like a theater lover, there's so many jokes and so much little tidbits you're going to get, right? If you're just a theater lover, because like, you know, it's about this trio, right? They're making a Star Wars musical adaptation. And one of the girls is not a big Star Wars fan. And the other two are like Star Wars nerds. And they're basically explaining to her through music, through song, through dance, why Star Wars is the best. So there's a lot of musical theater jokes. And it's a great night at the theater. I think people would have a good time no matter
that
if you're a Star Wars
fan.
That
sounds so fun.
Yeah, you laugh your ass off. Like I was literally dying. There's like, I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's like a little Hamilton parody in there that was so funny, Samantha. I was crying. Yeah, and like the set design and the actors. I just want to shout out the actors really quick. And I don't want to ruin their names, so I apologize to them if they're listening. Taylor Crusoe
Maggie McDowell, Stone Mountain, and then the understudy, who was obviously not performing, but I got to meet him after. Such a nice guy, Dylan Hartwell. They all like did such a great job. And you can see like they're so passionate about this, right? And it's like, aww, it's nice to see that energy, right? That good energy. You go to a show and you feel the energy from the sixth row, and just like you feel like you're part of something really, really special. So I had a really good time. Shout out to Tom. And yeah. Tom and Michael Dangora for inviting us and for producing and writing such a really amazing show.
I'm so sorry I missed it. When is it play to?
Oh, I think it's open ended. It's in a rotation, right? A repertory with another show. So yeah, everyone, go see it. Get your tickets. We'll put a link in our show notes to
support
Broadway Theater.
How fun. And it sounds like such a fun night at the theater as well.
It is. 80 minutes, no intermission. You're going to laugh your ass off the whole time.
Boom. Boom. So the day before you went and saw that show, we were at BroadwayCon. Is that true?
That is true. Wow. How fun was that?
How fun was BroadwayCon? Shout out to Broadway Podcast Network for coming in to our panel and capturing our audio. We would have been a part of their lineup if I did my job and submitted on time, but I didn't. So shout out to them for coming and taking care of us anyway. Jason, also shout out to you for really setting that up and getting us in there and coming up with the whole panel and really doing all that paperwork, because I have to tell you, I had such a blast. Our panelists were so amazing and iconic and had such amazing stories to share. And so that's what we're releasing today. Everyone's going to be able to listen to our panel. It was called The Journey to Your Broadway Debut. Everybody we spoke to made their Broadway debut this season.
Love that so much.
So we spoke to Ashley D. Kelly, who's one of the storytellers in Shucked.
Yes, narrator for life.
We love her. Jake Pedersen, who is Frankie Epps in Parade until Sunday. Y'all run and see it until Sunday the 6th. Mm-hmm. And then Maria Bilbao, who is Joanna and Sweeney Todd. And we were lucky enough to see all of those shows and see everyone, you know, kill it in their Broadway debut.
Yeah, and we had just an amazing audience too there. Like, we were a little nervous that, you know, we didn't know like people were going to show up, and there were people there and they were so engaged, and they like stood after and took pictures with the wonderful actors and took pictures with us. We were like, what? And such a great, great fun weekend at BroadwayCon. Shout out to Alan again for holding it down on the audio for us.
Totally. And it's just so, sometimes I feel like I get a little jaded in like the Broadway community of like, the privilege to be around it all the time and see the shows and be around actors and interview the actors. So to see, you know, folks traveling in from Australia and Oklahoma and Florida to just be, you know, in the buzz of it just for a weekend and be so happy to be there was so beautiful.
Love that. Love BroadwayCon. Love Jake and Maria and Ashley. They're so awesome.
Love
They're
you.
They're like our new besties. Oh, I love you.
We love Broadway.
All right, y'all.
Enjoy the panel.
Sweet. There's so much happening on here.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming to this super fun panel.
Yes. Welcome to BroadwayCon.
Literally, how fun.
Is this everybody's first panel of the day, right? So we got to start off like high energy. Thanks for being with us. I'm going to give it over to Sam. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Are we ready, Alan, to kick off? Yeah. Oh, we're always ready. Well, hello, everyone. Like Jason said, welcome to BroadwayCon. My name is Samantha Tutsalo. This is Jason A. Coombs. We're co-hosts of Survival Jobs, a podcast. You can find us on Broadway World, on Broadway Podcast Network, which we love so much. And we're so excited. We're going to chat with three actors today who have all made their Broadway debuts this season. Right, Jay?
We are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so first up, This panelist made his Broadway debut in the Tony Award-winning Best Revival of a Musical, Parade. Let's give it up for Jake Pedersen!
Yeah.
Right here, yeah. All right. Next up, we have making her Broadway debut in the corniest but most fun musical of the season, right. Probably, is Ashley D. Kelly in Shucks!
Yeah!
Yes, welcome, welcome. And last but not least, from the bloodiest musical of the season, Sweeney Todd, is Maria Bilbao.
Yeah.
Come on in, Maria. Thank you for coming. Awesome. We are so pumped.
We're pumped. So we're so excited. First of all, you guys, I don't want to brag, but we definitely have the coolest panelists. We were just like kikiing, having the best time. Let's jump right in. We're so excited to talk to you guys. So my first question is, do you remember where you were when you got the call that you were going to be making your Broadway debut? Can you tell us about the moment? Ashley, please kick it off. You're first, girl.
Of course. Okay. So I think I was actually at the airport.
Lit.
Yeah, I had just filmed a pilot. So,
yeah.
I did. I filmed a pilot and I was on my way back to New York and I got a phone call from my manager right before boarding saying, hey, Shucked wants you. And I was like, wait, what? Like, really? Like, for real? And by then it was just a reading that was leading to Broadway. So I still didn't actually know that I was going with it until I did the reading. Mm. But that was the first call I got about Shucked.
Yeah. Yes. Nice. Gig to gig.
Gig
right?
to gig.
Gig to gig. Maria?
Yeah, this is like etched in my memory for the rest of my life. I was doing a... like this holiday little show in Sonoma, California, last November. And it was like our day off and my manager texted me something along the lines of like, Sweeney has notes for you. And I was like, what? What do you mean notes? And he calls me and he's like, well, you booked Joanna. And I was like, I just remember falling on my knees. And it just being an insane moment in my life. So yeah, I was in this random house in Sonoma, California.
Yes. Best day. Wow, you guys are all right? you guys are all traveling, finding the news.
Yeah.
Jake, which I literally almost just Frankie, I almost just called you.
Yes.
I was finishing my run with the national tour of Wicked, and we were in D.C. at the moment. And I was living with my best friend, and we had gone in for a couple things because our time was running out there, so we were on the audition grind, right? And so she had just gotten the call the week prior that she booked Back to the Future, and we were like celebrating. I was like, oh my God, what a magic experience to be here. And I videotaped her whole experience. And so then I went in for the callback for Frankie Epps and Parade, and I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen. And then the next Monday, I got a phone call in the morning from my agent, and it was like real early. So like we were sharing this this place, and she heard me on the phone, be like, what? And she came out and she started videotaping me. I was like fully in my underwear because I was asleep. So the video will never see the light of day, but it was a special moment, and like I was just in tears, and it was cool to like experience that with like my best friend and like in the same place as her. And so that's like we say that's like a special place. If anyone wants to make their Broadway debut, stay there.
Well, just travel anywhere because the three of you were like. Not in New York, so maybe that's what I need to do. Noted. So a follow-up to that is now we know where you were. Can you tell us a little bit about the actual audition process? Was it like crazy, tedious, stressful, fun?
So so my audition process was like really quick and kind of crazy. It was the night before leaving for the pilot, and I was super tired and I had gotten it like 2 days before, and I was like, what is this? It's a story about porn? And then like I started reading it a little bit, and I was just like, oh, this is kind of funny. Why not? So it was late at night, I think it was like 11 p.m. I was in my garage, and I was like, let's just do it. There were six sides, which is a lot, and a song. And I was like, you know what? I'm so tired, I'm just gonna have so much fun with it. Because there was really no information about this character.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna be myself. And I did it, and I was insane and crazy and weird, like I am. And I sent it off, and a week later, they were like, yeah, we like you. And I was like, oh. Finally, my weirdness paid off.
Yes.
I love that. My weirdness paid off.
Yeah.
Maria?
So be weird, everybody.
Weird in yourself. Weird. Yeah, my process was really fast and wild and really fun and cool. I had sent in my self-tape for her for the show. I think it was like the Wednesday or the Tuesday before the week of Thanksgiving. Oh, wow. So like I had, you know, I paid for my flight back home already. I was already set to be with my family on Thanksgiving. So I sent in my self-tape on Wednesday. My manager calls me on Thursday. And it's like, they want to see you on Friday for a movement call. And then next Monday or Tuesday and or for singing. And I was like, okay, great. I have to change my flight. And I was like talking to my mom, like, what do I do? She's like, you can't miss that. You have to stay there. It's okay if you're here for one day. I was like, okay, cool. So I do my movement call on Friday. And that was like the most amazing movement call I've ever had in my entire life. Stephen Hoggett is the absolute best.
Shout out.
Brilliant. Shout out.
Just incredible. And I left that room just being so happy and like not really caring what happens, just loving the experience. And then I went to go sing on Tuesday, right before Thanksgiving. I was in the room for like 30 minutes. And I remember like when I got the self-tape going back, I got a plunk track for Kiss Me, and I was like, how am I gonna learn this? This is like the fastest song ever with all of the words. And I wasn't too familiar with all of Sweeney Todd at this point. And so I went in and I was like, I don't know what the hell is gonna happen, but I'm just gonna be weird and do my thing, and that's gonna be enough. And yeah, I was in there for a while, came out of that, FaceTimed my mom, like, that was so awesome. That was so cool. I had such a great time. And then flew home, and then the week prior, I mean after, I booked it. And it was just, it all happened so fast. Mm-hmm.
Jake, I hope you say that you were weird, because you're really going to mess up the pattern if you don't.
Yes, well, I mean, I am weird, but I feel like, I don't know. So it was like also a fast process. And so like beginning of January, I got like the tape. I was like, they want to see you for this. So I sent the two like sides and songs for Frankie. And, you know, you send it to the ether and you're like, well, I'll see what happens, you know. And so then they were like, great, we're going to send you right to final callbacks. And at that time, I was in D.C., like I was saying. And so I was like, oh, gosh, I don't want to, like, call out of the show. And D.C. has the Acela train, so, like, it goes real fast. So I took a 4 a.m. train. And my audition was Friday the 13th of January. So this is like a crazy day, right? And I was like, I don't know what this is going to mean. So I went and I got there really early. And my like call was at 11. So I had some time. But then, you know, it's a small little world we live in. And so there's a bunch of people that I knew who were in the room. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not getting this because this person's here. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was like a callback from the movies, though. So I was like warming up, and it was at a different place I've never been to. And I had my stuff ready, and they called me up to the room. And most of the creative team was there, and then some people who couldn't join in person were on Zoom. And so they had me sing Picture Show and part of Funeral Sequence, which are the two songs that I kind of sing in the show. And it was just cuts of the song and then like a side. And I was like, all right, well, that was fun. And part of the audition was also bring in a monologue or a funny story in a Southern accent. And I was like, I'm doing the story. Like,
yeah, story.
You know what I mean? So I told a story about my twin brother. I have a twin brother, and we are very different, and how he broke his thumb. And it was like just a funny story. And I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. And then they started testing my range. I was like, all right, maybe it's going somewhere. And they said, thank you so much. I said, all right, thanks. And so then I left. But then I was out the door on the street with my bags, like had my raincoat on, and the person running the room ran down the street and was like, Jake, come back. They want you to do more. I was like, what is happening?
Yes.
And
so
I ran back, caused the whole scene, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, everyone. And so they made me sing the whole funeral sequence. So I sight read that music, and then we like chatted more about things, and it's like, oh, this is, and we were like vibing, and so it was like a beautiful room to be in, which was like, I don't know, that's not always the case. Sometimes it's kind of like stressful and sterile, and this one felt like we were like actually like playing and vibing, which was really nice. And then the next Monday I got that call, and it was just truly, I call it a unicorn experience in my life. So
yes. Lit. Getting chased down the street to be on Broadway. Like, I know, hello?
Right? This is literally like a movie scene. Yeah. Yeah. I was picturing it while you were telling me.
It was wild.
It's like storyteller. Yeah. Watch out, Ashley.
Hey. That was funny, Jason.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, so our podcast is Survival Jobs, right? So we're kind of working backwards from your Broadway debut. So before you booked these shows, did you have a memorable Survivor job while you were, you know, hustling, auditioning? And I'll start with Jake and we'll go all the way down.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So I graduated in the pandemonium at Penn, and I graduated from Penn State in 2021.
Yeah.
And while that was happening, I needed to, like, have a Survivor job there and, like, also when I moved to the city. And I worked a few places. I worked at Target.
Okay. Where's your ring shirt?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to be Jake from Target.
Yeah. You
know?
Yes.
But so I worked there. I did two things. I was a cashier, but then what they also call inbound, if anyone knows what that means. I didn't. And I said, sure, why not? I will never do it again. It's not for me. But some people who can do it are strong, and I, like, power to.
What is it?
It is... getting the boxes off of the truck at 4 in the morning.
Ooh.
A lot of 4 in the morning with
you. Yes. It's my lucky time of the day. But that was like the wildest one I did. But then I also worked a fast food job in Pennsylvania. But when I got to the city, I worked at Row House. And I was like the front desk of the Row House, which is a fitness studio in Williamsburg. Yes. And they have a few around the city. But it was great. They worked with my schedule. And I also kind of subbed for my friend's theater class. But, you know, just kind of did everything I could.
Yes, hustling.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. I did a lot of crazy survival jobs. I started after, so I went to AMDA for college. And after I graduated, I stayed around in the city. And my first job was at The Loft in Times Square. Mm-hmm. I quickly quit that job, I think like 2 weeks in, because it was insane. And I was just like, I don't think I can do retail.
It's the worst.
It's just the worst. You have to follow so particularly, and I'm just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was a hostess at two really renowned restaurants down in Soho, and that was fun. And then after that, I worked at Olive Garden in Harlem for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yes, and the salads.
So many breadsticks.
The breadsticks.
I got so sick of them.
They're so good.
I was a struggling actor, and I was like, I'll take as many as I can.
The family meal. Yes, you know, we'll take
that never-ending pasta. And then after Olive Garden, I started doing princess parties in New Jersey.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And while I was doing princess parties, I started doing wedding singing upstate. And then while I was doing wedding singing, I was bartending at a little bar, like a 3-minute walk away from my home. So yeah, it was done so many survival jobs,
but
it all led me to here. So I'm, you know, I'm grateful for each experience. Yeah.
Love that.
So, I'm actually from New York. I grew up in Long Island. And so,
okay.
Oh, Long Island in the house. So, like, you know, I was privileged enough to have
Nassau.
Nassau. Ooh. It's all right. We still like Suffolk. It's okay.
I just got stressed. I'm like, what does it mean?
We understand. We know what's going on.
Okay.
So, you know, I had the privilege of having a place to stay and when I was struggling. So I always lived where the work was. And so I didn't necessarily have, like, a lot of survival jobs, but I turned all of my little survival gigs into... some kind of creative moment. So I went to school, I went to Temple University in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I started working with Philadelphia Young Playwrights, which is a program where you have high school and middle school students who write their own plays or musicals, and they have professional actors come in to either be a teaching artist to help them learn how to write or to be one of their actors in their plays, which is really, really cool. And so I did that for a very long time. And then I did a summer stock in New Hampshire and fell in love with the community and found my best friend there, and we started a theater company.
Ooh.
And we started a theater company for the other artists like us who, you know, sometimes we're in between gigs and we don't have anything. And so we're like, well, let's make a theater community here where we teach the kids that are in community, where we do cabarets, where we like do random things. And that was kind of like my survival job.
Fun.
Yeah, so I wanted to be creative in whatever struggle I was going through, you know?
I love that. What's the theater company called?
It was called Patrick Dora Productions.
Is it still kicking?
Yeah. Not at full capacity, but yeah. You know, I'm after the pandemic and all of that.
Right.
They're still doing some programming today, so
well,
I'm
congrats.
Very proud.
That's really awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to transition. I want to talk to everyone a little bit about your individual shows and how and your process and all of that. So, Jake, I want to start with you. I am a huge Parade fan. I told you before, I've seen it 5 times. I hyperventilate, cry every time. Like, I know what's going to happen,
my
you know?
My shoulder was soaking wet.
Yeah, it was like, Jason and I were, like, in the second row, and I was like, this is too much for me. But, you know, your character, it's really deep and not a happy thing you have to talk about and do, and it's a really sensitive topic. So I want to know how you ground yourself and do that for 8 shows a week and still like give it your all and not take it home.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a process, and I feel like I learn something new every week and it changes and evolves and things like that. But I was lucky to be surrounded by a lot of artists that respect each other and respect the room and the material all together, and that is what I'm truly grateful for, because it is a heavy piece and it is very complex and it's tough, right? And so in the room, the rehearsal room, we were given a lot of tools that were meant to help us. Like we talked about in rolling and de-rolling, which is our process of like basically putting on the character and taking it off and leaving it at the theater and like not taking it home with you, and what that looks like for each specific actor. And for me, I listen to certain music on my train ride to work to get me in a certain headspace, and then talk to my friends, you know, and then afterwards I listen to different music or talk to a friend on the way home and like completely leave it at the theater, because it is a lot. But I didn't really know what it would feel like until we were in full process. Yeah. So like the first couple weeks of the show, I did come home with like a headache from crying on stage that much, because I've never gotten to do that. As an actor, I've always kind of wanted to like have that role that is very, very emotional and evokes all these emotions and makes you like wear your heart on your sleeve. And I've gotten that beautiful opportunity here, but what does that look like 8 shows a week? And like to feel that physically is a whole different beast. But again, because of the people, and specifically Michael Arden, he is the reason that the show is the way it is and can run the way it is. In the room, there's a lot of heavy material, but one of them is the flag that is waved, which is heavy and complex. And so in order to evoke emotion that looks genuine and authentic with a flag that no one really feels right waving, we used pride flags in the room, and that was his idea. And we also changed vocabulary of certain props and things in order to be sensitive to everyone's past and history that we are not aware of. And so things like that I really appreciate and are the reason the show is as powerful as it is, because we took care of each other and continue to today. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Love that.
Love that.
Go see Parade, people.
Yes, come see us. 2 more weeks. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. That was quick.
Yeah.
Samantha, you have like 16 more times to cry.
Yeah.
Don't take it away. I hate when shows say must end. Yeah. And I ask my producer friends, I'm like, why do we have to say must? Like, what if we can extend? And they're like, we can. It must end.
So I have the next one. Ashley, you are a vital part of moving Shucked along, keeping the audience engaged, and literally telling the story. Did you feel like an extra layer of like responsibility, or like was it, I don't know, like you're literally telling me like the story can't go on without you and your scene partner.
Yeah.
Like, so how was that?
It is a lot of responsibility, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, me and Gray Henson, who plays storyteller number 2, we are kind of like the liaison between the audience and the characters you see on stage. And sometimes we do slip into other characters, but our main job is to connect with the audience. And so we have to know exactly what's happening next at every moment of the show. So we can't really go up on lines, and we can't really, you know, miss a step or anything, because we are the people who are actually moving it along. If we don't get it right, then we mess up everybody else. And so there's that heavy responsibility. But also, we have a responsibility to make sure that the audience is having a good time and that they understand what's going on, which is cool because in that light, we get to check in all the time with the audience. And the audience is different every single night. So whatever energy they give us, we throw right back at them, you know? So it's like this, y'all are our scene partners. And so it's different. It's like doing improv literally every single show. Mm-hmm. And so that's the cool part of it. But it is a big responsibility that I'm very honored and blessed to have.
You do it so well.
I was just going to say, and you're so good. Yeah. So that there's that also.
Right? And I was like, I feel like she's talking to me. And I was like,
I know. I am.
I feel like we're right here.
And I know. We get a lot of people just like, oh, like, yes, you. Hi. Yeah. Doing good?
All I'm right. Like, she agreed to the panel because she remembered us.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
She's like, that big hair guy.
Like, oh, yeah. It straight up smells like corn in that theater.
Well, we have a lot of corn.
Right?
But it's a good corn smell, right?
And then I was like, is this real or am I just like really in the like in the play
Disney
with that?
World,
like, I don't know.
Corn into the audience. That's what
we asked John Bellman that. He was like, no. But I'm like, I think
he did say no.
Yeah.
Listen.
So we're confused. If anyone can find out and let us know the truth, it would really be appreciated.
I'm on it.
Thank you so much. Okay, Maria. Sondheim. Like, that's all I really want to say to you is, like, you're making your Broadway debut in a Sondheim show. You said before, like, in the callback, it was so wordy. So I guess my question is just, like, what has it been like making your Broadway debut, which you've probably dreamed about your whole life, in, like, the king of musical theater?
It's honestly, it's so surreal. People ask me that all the time, and I'm honestly like, my mind is just blown.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say because it's just such an honor and such a blessing. It feels so special to be telling the story and to be singing his music and to be honoring just like his spirit and his artistry.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly incredible. I've loved Sondheim for such a long time. And I remember, I don't know, being like 12, 13 years old, watching a pro shot of Into the Woods and just like sobbing, like, wow, this is what musical theater can be like. This is just incredible. So yeah, being able to step into this role and step into the world of Sondheim has just been magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that. I love Sondheim.
It's amazing. Just
so I want to take a little bit of a turn.
Okay.
Has there been, this is for everybody, has there been a time when it was like the most difficult for you and you were thinking of, should I keep going? Because I know, like, you know, most of us are probably actors in here and we probably have those thoughts, but obviously y'all didn't stop. But was there a time when you felt like you might? Or a difficult time that was like hard to get through?
Everyone's big sigh. Yeah, everyone like in unison a sigh.
I think I've been very lucky with the timing of things and like the way that I'm kind of riding this wave of stuff, but going to school in the pandemic really like forced you to be like, okay, is this going to be worth it? Like, am I going to invest in this? Because a lot of people were like, I think I'm going to do a different major. I think I'm going to go somewhere that's more stable or whatever that may mean to them.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like the moment like, all right, I'm going to double down here. And so, yes, I did have that moment of like, okay, there is nothing happening right now, and this worldwide pandemic can just shut us down completely. How scary is that, you know? But in a way, it also was a beautiful thing because it made my love for it grow even more, and like my passion to learn and grow with. I really focused on dancing in that time, and I wanted to take more dance classes because that was the only thing that was also happening in person safely. And but there was a lot of those moments, especially for me and my peers, where we would have conversations about like, what does the world look like next? And like, am I gonna go to New York City? Because also that changed. Like, all of a sudden self-tapes became the way of auditioning. So you didn't have to go to New York at that time.
And yeah.
So I definitely, you know, felt that then. And I have peers that we talk about that still today. And I feel like that those moments will be in your life all the time. And it's okay to feel those things. And maybe down the road, New York City won't be for me. Right now it is, you know, but I feel like that's life, and that's the beauty of things, where, like, you can grow as you go.
Yeah. Snaps. Grow as you go. Yes. I love that.
Definitely during the pandemic, I was doing a regional production of On Your Feet in Georgia when the pandemic hit, and I decided to go home to Miami, Florida for a couple of months to wait things out. And during that time, there was never a part of me that was like, I can't do this anymore. This is, you know, there's nothing happening. I have to find something new for me. Because in my heart of hearts, I've always known that storytelling is what I love to do and what I think I know to do best in my life. But it was just like grappling with the uncertainty of things and like having, I don't know, sometimes your family can, you know, fill you with these thoughts of, you know, you never know, it could be 2 years until Broadway comes back or theater starts again. You should start going to school or for something else. And I did. I started taking online classes with the new school to get my BFA because I'd just gone to a conservatory. So I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. And that was a lovely thing to do to fill up my time and fill up my spirit. But then I moved back to New York in August of 2020 after spending a couple of months with my fam. And it was so odd being in New York at that time. It was so empty. And there was really no auditions happening. I think I had like 2 self-tapes in the pandemic for like showcases and stuff. So it was a lot of filling up my time with things that are creative, that would just like fill my soul so that I wasn't in this headspace of, when am I going to create again? Yeah. Is this ever going to happen again? Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then I got really lucky after the pandemic and I started working pretty quickly, which was just amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but it's definitely hard at times. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I think mine is very similar to yours. I was doing the play That Goes Wrong on tour. And I remember I was in Delaware, March 2020, and we were about to have our opening night in Delaware, and President Biden was actually coming to the show when everything got shut down. And so I was sent back home here to New York, and there was this level of, ooh, what's gonna happen? This is a really scary time. I don't think I ever had the thought of like, I can't do this anymore, I'm not doing this. It was just a matter of, okay, I need to pivot because theater's not happening right now, what else can I do? Mm. And so I did creative things too during the pandemic and just trying to keep everything going. I worked on music, I worked on writing, I made silly social media content.
Were you baking bread?
That are still, I was like, I'm not gonna do that. Yeah. No, I ain't gonna do that.
Why was that a thing?
It was a huge thing, huge. So then I pivoted, like I said, so I started to do a lot more TV and film things. And so I was very blessed and lucky to be involved with a lot of television shows during the pandemic, after the pandemic and all that. And so that's where my theater training went to. Mm. And I didn't feel like I was cheating on theater. I was just like, well, I'm using what I knew from theater training. So I was doing a lot of that. And I was doing a lot of Zoom readings of new works and new plays, which is one of my favorite things to do. I love to be in like the developmental stage of a show. Mm. And that kind of helped me process the fact that, you know, in-person theater wasn't happening at the moment. And so, I just made sure that I stayed creative because I knew that theater was it. Theater was my one and only true love. So, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, let's flip it and reverse it.
Okay.
Right? Let's talk about a favorite moment you look forward to in the show every week.
Oh.
Yeah, we got to do something positive after. Getting deep.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
I have two favorite moments, if that's all right.
Yes, please.
My first favorite moment is during Kiss Me, in between part one and part two, there's a song, Ladies and Their Sensitivities. And me and my Anthony, whether that be Daniel Yearwood or Jordan Fisher, mm-hmm. or one of our amazing understudies, Wonder Studies. we have this beautiful moment where we get to de-roll mm-hmm. during the show and then enroll back into the show. So we like have this moment where we just check in as people mm. and just talk about our day and talk about how life is, talk about what we're gonna be doing on our days off if it's a Sunday. And then we get back into it right before Kiss Me Part 2 happens. And I really love that moment. It's so special to me. And then my second favorite moment is so silly, but for going into Joanna Part 2, I have to like climb this very tall crane to the top floor. And there's, you know, there's lots of lights on this stage and I would be seen, but I was given this cloak. I was given a cloak.
And a cloak.
Yes. And I look like wow. the Grim Reaper. And I just like literally am crouching like a gremlin onto the stage.
Oh my gosh.
And taking it off as I get up there and putting it back on and scurrying off like a little animal. And I just think it is so funny to me that I'm in an invisibility cloak on a Broadway stage. I yes. would have never thought that that would, you that. Know, be my truth in life. but it's just fantastic. Yeah,
the magic of theater.
The magic of theater. Yes.
We're always here, on Sam. The same.
Maybe far away, but
I
we're
know,
still.
But we got it. We got it.
Do you want to take it?
Yeah. She's like, go first. I'm still thinking.
Really oh, okay. oh, no. I think I honestly like. Part of the vision that Michael Arden has had for the show is we're on stage for the majority of the show, whether we're in the scene or not. So we're in the mm-hmm. scene and we're like giving our energy, but we're sitting there and we're not moving. So that's hard sometimes, but
yeah.
It's also really cool because then you get to watch your fellow actors do their thing and like yeah. it's like a masterclass every day. But my favorite moment is I am in the back on stage right on the top of Act Two, so you can barely see me, so I can literally just like watch and like make faces and react with the audience. But I think Michaela Diamond is a star, and she oh. is, and she continues to rise, and it's amazing. But she sings yeah. Do It Alone, Leo, on the top, towards the beginning of Act Two, and just watching her every day is really something I look forward to, and it's like really special to just be able to authentically react, because I actually have a lampshade that is right here in front of my face. So like the audience cannot see me, but I'm like just starstruck.
It's your own invisibility cloak.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, Ashley, you better not mess up the invisibility
cloak. I didn't have one. I don't have one in the show. So this is really weird. I have four, but they're really quick. So
we got time.
One, number one is the very top of show. You've seen the show, haven't you? Because I'm looking at your Shuck t-shirt. Yes!
Yes! Right.
So you know, the very top of show with me and Greg, we get to come out and see the audience for the first time, and there's just a wall of energy that just hits us and it's go time. Then my second would be getting to watch Andrew Duran sing Somebody Will as Bo, and mm-hmm. we're all on stage and we're just watching, and I get to be like myself basically as a storyteller. So I'm literally just like, oh, this man can sing. And I have listened to this man sing for like since for over a year now, and I'm like,
every time
this man hits, every time. Third is also watching Alex Newell. Like, I get to watch this on stage every single show.
Yes.
And that moment is just like, I can't, how?
Seriously, I was saying,
you know, like, oh, I can't do that. And then my last moment is the very end of the show, which I can't tell you what it is.
Yeah.
You gotta come see it, you know. Yeah.
I love those. Those are really good ones, you guys. I need an invisibility cloak. Yeah. Can I speak?
No,
I need an invisibility cloak. That could be like a good warm-up.
Yeah.
Add it to your pre-show. I'm telling you, you'll kill it. Okay, so like Jason said before, we have a podcast called Survival Jobs. This panel is talking about our journeys to our Broadway debuts, and by our, I mean yours.
Yeah. This is our Broadway Con debut.
This is our Broadway Con debut. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So we were wondering if you guys had any advice for anybody who's here today or anybody who may listen to this panel later on who may feel stuck in their survival jobs and are trying to get out and pursue a career in the arts, and they just feel like they're hitting the wall of serving or babysitting or whatever that job may be. What is your advice to them?
I would say keep going. No matter what, keep going. You really have to love theater to your core to do this, because it is very hard. But it's also very rewarding. And so you have to have the spirit in you to continue in whatever way you can. Yeah, I would just say keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, you took the word right out of my mouth. Keep going. If you love it, it's worth it. So just, keep putting yourself out there and create your own stuff.
It's important.
And just like have fun and record music. Do whatever you want. But yeah, keep going and believe in yourself because you're enough.
Yes. Ditto, all of that. And also success looks different in every way. And like Broadway debut is amazing and also a goal of mine. But like if that never happened, I still would have been successful in my own right. And so just know that as well.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm just answering the question even though I asked it, just because this came into my head while you guys were sharing. Somebody once told me, sometimes all you have to do is ask. And that's how we, you know, have created what we've created. So I just wanted to add that in. I answered the my own question. Sometimes you guys just have to ask.
And be weird.
And be weird.
Lean into yourself.
I love
that. Lean into yourself.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody like you.
No.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Just you.
So we're going to play a really fun game after this next question. I'm not sure if we told Jake, but I'm not Ashley and Maria.
Oh, Ashley knows.
Well, we didn't tell him what the game was. We just said there was a game at the end.
Okay.
But before that, I have the final question, right? And that is, Ashley, I saw a few weeks ago this beautiful video you posted about your theater world experience.
Oh.
I was like crying. You said, I'm crying. I was like crying along with you. But you talked about how someone in your life introduced you to the book and to the musical Ragtime.
Yeah.
So would you mind just sharing someone who's been a cheerleader for you that you want to give honor to, someone from your community, someone in your family who's really been there? Because I think it's important to honor the people who are like, who push you, right? And are there for you, so.
For sure. I'm probably going to say the same person. He was my high school drama, dance, and English teacher because, you got to do everything. He's also a professional actor now. So he introduced me to the book Ragtime by E.L. Doctorow. I think it was my junior year of high school. And I fell in love with the story. I thought it was incredible. I loved the way I read it, and it was just amazing. And I had no idea that it was a Broadway musical at the time. And so I remember after school one day, he sat me down in his office, and he was like, I want to show you something. I was like, okay, cool. He pulls up a video of the opening number, I think it was a Tony performance, of Ragtime the musical, and I was just like, what is this, and I need to do this. This is what I want. And like it was that moment, I was just like that's what theater can be. Oh my God, I want to do this. And so from there, I graduated, and he bought me the actual cast album.
Yes, two discs?
The two disc one.
Yeah, I had it too.
Back then, it's been a while since I've graduated high school. I look young. So he bought me that, and I was just like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then, not kidding you, my first show at Temple University was a Ragtime musical.
No.
And I was just like, whoa, wait, this is happening. Cut 2 years later, I'm singing at this event, and Lynn Ahrens is right in front of me, who she's a lyricist for Ragtime the musical. And I was like, holy crap, okay, this is cool. And I met her, and I think I cried at her. I probably scared her, but it's fine. But she was so sweet, gave me a hug, and I told her my whole life story. It's fine, we're friends now. And then the Theater World Awards, which I knew that they were honoring Brian Stokes Mitchell, who played Colehouse Walker Jr. And so I was already like, oh my God. And I was like the second to last person out of like the 12 people being honored that night. And I was just like, why am I so late in this program? And so, Miles Frost, he introduced me, I say my speech, and I literally say exactly what I'm saying now. And then I go off stage, and there's Audra McDonald standing right there. And I'm like, I didn't know you was gonna be here. I didn't know, and I like that. And then I like literally leaned over. I was like, I can't breathe. And she was so sweet. She gave me a hug and she touched my arm. I was like, oh my God, you touched my arm. Oh my God. And I got to take pictures with them, and they were so lovely. And it was just a full circle moment that I knew I was exactly where I needed to be at the right moment and that theater was what I was supposed to do because it led me to that point. So yeah,
yes.
It's pretty cool.
That's so beautiful.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And your what's your teacher's name?
Oh, Mr. Edward Murray.
Yes,
shout
Mr.
out.
Edward Murray.
Shout out to Mr. Edward Murray.
You planted that seed. I love that so much. It's such a beautiful
planted
story.
Planted that ragtime seed.
Yeah.
Maria, do you want to go?
Oh, sure. I think the person who's been most influential on my life and in this crazy career, beautiful career that I've chosen, has been my grandmother. She put me in my first show in like a summer camp when I was 7. And that kind of like changed my life in a lot of ways. And she was always my cheerleader. She was always there for me. She was the one who drove me to every one of my classes, every one of my shows. And she's still like my biggest supporter now.
Yes.
And she's come to see Sweeney like 3 or 4 times, like flying up from Miami. So yeah, she's just been, the most influential person in my life. For
love
this.
That. Mm-hmm. Last but not least.
Yes. I think my family has been a huge part of it, like my mom and dad for sure. They like let me start when they have helped me, but the person I definitely have to shout out is Christy Jeter, who is the head, and she's the studio owner and runs the studio called Jeter's Backyard Theater, which is a community theater back home in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And she kind of like took me under her wing when I did Les Mis in high school. Like I was Gavroche at 6th grade. I was in the high school show, and that was Broadway to
Ooh,
me.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know. Yes. I was like, I've made it, right? And so I had no training at that time. I don't know who I fooled, but I was on the high school stage, right? And after that, this woman just reached out to my family. Like, hey, I think Jake has got something special, which I was like, that's weird. Okay. And so she started just giving me voice lessons just for free. And it was like wild. I was like, what is this world of things? So she kind of just took me under her wing. And I started studying at her studio for years and became like a camp counselor of her. So I became student to like counselor to like now like kind of artist that shows up every so often. And so she's come to the show as well. And Christy Jeter, Jeter's Backyard Theater. She is like the reason I really dove in and like held my hand through it all at the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's nice.
Yes.
You guys all have like wonderful stories to share. Thank you for joining us on this panel. I know everybody here is probably like so happy. You guys are amazing. Mm-hmm. Great storytelling. It's so beautiful to, you know, take the journey with you on how you are where you are now. So thank you. Can we have a hand for our panelists?
Yeah. Okay, so there's a quick little game that we're going to play. Everyone has everyone has a little buzzer in front of you.
Okay.
And our game is, let me just flip my page. Give me one sec.
Don't let Jake see the answers.
Oh yeah, Jake can't look at the answers.
No cheating.
Jeez, Jake. Okay. So this is Broadway debut trivia.
Oh gosh.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Ashley's like chugging her water. So some are multiple choice, some are true or false.
Okay.
So we have 5 questions and a bonus. So can you all just press your button so we can hear who is who? Okay.
I love these buzzers. It's like my favorite part of any interview we do with them.
So we might need y'all to be the judges if we can't hear
who hits their buzzer
hits
first.
Their buzzer first. Okay.
Can we get it one more time just so I know?
Yeah.
Okay. Boom.
All right. So I have the first question. It's multiple choice. This pop star made her Broadway debut in Jason Robert Brown's 13 the Musical. See, I don't know who that was, Jake or Maria.
I think it was Maria.
Oh. I'll give it to you.
Okay. I'm going to say Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Wow.
She didn't even need the multiple choice.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we were ready. We were ready.
Can I get a bonus price for the writer of 13 Days Gone?
I'm dead.
Are we keeping score? Oh, Jake,
I'll keep score. Yeah.
There's no prize.
there's a prize. We'll at the end.
Okay.
The usual
Everybody's
prize.
Gonna get that prize. Okay. Number 2.
Okay.
Viola Davis. Love Viola Davis.
Queen.
Made her Broadway debut in which of the following August Wilson plays?
Okay.
A. Fences. B. The Piano Lesson. C. 7 Guitars. D, Radio Golf. Ashley.
Is it D, Radio Golf?
It is not.
Dang, never.
Can we do?
Yeah, Maria.
Fences.
It is not.
Oh, all right. There we go.
Jake.
Piano lesson?
It is not.
Seven guitars.
Horrible.
It was seven guitars.
Seven guitars.
Wow. Well,
she made her Broadway debut. Sorry. I don't know if she won a Tony.
Well,
maybe.
She's
can't remember what I read. So what do we do? Nobody gets a point.
No one gets a point.
Sorry.
We tried really hard.
Yeah.
You really did. I mean, we were right down the line.
Yeah. I was so confident.
Really, you really
strong and wrong.
Your hand was ready before the multiple choice even came.
Okay. This is true or false.
Okay.
Natalie Portman made her Broadway debut at the age of 16 in The Diary of Anne Frank. True or false?
Ooh, 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 ooh.
You better hit that buzzer, see?
Oh, Maria.
Oh, that was really hard. True.
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 I yes. knew it too!
Wow.
Wow.
You did it. You did it.
The Diary of Anne Frank opened at the Music Box Theater on December 4th, 1997.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, Maria, you're really taking lead. Congrats.
Yeah, good work.
You're welcome. Yeah. Okay, next. True or false? Sarah Jessica Parker, SJP, same initials as our podcast, just want to point out, made her Broadway debut at age 12 in the original production of Annie.
It's a 50-50 chance.
I know.
Yes.
Shake.
True.
I'm so sorry.
False!
Congratulations, Ashley. You have a point in the game.
I want to share this with Jake, though.
Sorry, you can't.
Right. It's all good. It's yours.
False. Her Broadway debut was at the age of 11 in the revival of The Innocents, which I don't even know what that is. I read that yesterday. I said, what is that?
I don't know.
That anyone?
Okay.
Sounds spooky.
This last question.
I gotta get this one.
Before the bonus. This American Idol alum made her Broadway debut, and this is also multiple choice, as Celine in The Color Purple.
Oh, shoot.
It was Ashley, I think.
I think it was Ashley.
It was Ashley.
Wait.
I should have waited. Broadway debut in The Color Purple as Celie.
Yeah.
Oh, Fantasia.
Yes.
I was like, wait. Yeah. It wasn't it. Fantasia Barrino.
Congratulations. Yes,
correct.
Yeah.
Fantasia Barrino.
Gosh.
Okay, and for the big bonus.
Which so we're 5 points.
Yeah, so Jake you get it. You really so. Could redeem
come on,
yourself.
Come on, Jake.
We're for big five, so.
Betty Who will make her Broadway debut in what current running Broadway show? Yes, Jake.
Hadestown.
Correct.
Oh, I won.
I really want to say everyone did a really good job.
Yes.
I don't know what that
but
male
I do
privilege
want to say
Jake, at the
Jake did win. What, Jason?
That male privilege coming at the very end to get 5 points. I don't know. Just kidding. Congratulations.
Everybody. All three of you win a prize of getting invited to the season 3 premiere party of Survival Jobs, a podcast. We're in season 2 for like 900 years, so who knows when that will be.
We'll be there.
Yeah, can't wait. What goes on?
Yeah.
Thank
Risotto
you
balls.
Guys so much. Yeah, it was great photo
balls.
You want to just let everyone know your social media so everyone can follow you if they already do not? That'd be awesome.
Sure. At Ashley D. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, on Instagram and Twitter and all the above. Yeah.
I am at the Maria Bilbao. I don't know if it's A before the O. Bilbao.
Oh, no.
Nice.
Is right?
It happens. No,
it's wrong.
It happens.
I emailed them.
And I said Bilboa, I believe, in our promo. Sorry.
It's our first time.
And mine is at jake.ped for the Instagram and the TikTok.
Yay.
Yes.
And follow us at Survival Jobs, a podcast on Instagram and Twitter, on Facebook, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod and on Facebook at Survival Jobs, a podcast. We chat with a lot of amazing Broadway actors, producers, etc. Check us out. Thank you guys so much for coming.
We have cards up here.
Thank you, amazing Broadway debuters. Happy Broadway Con.
That's Broadway Con. And Alan, thanks Alan. Yes.
Thank you to Alan, to Broadway Podcast Network. VPN, follow VPN, Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.